Revelation, your word, your truth. And Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, we're looking at overcoming obstacles to faith. And faith is absolutely crucial to the Christian life because we know that without faith it's impossible to please God, and we walk by faith, the Bible says. We live by faith, we stand by faith. When we pray, we receive faith, and so on. So faith, without faith, you just cannot operate in the Christian walk. And that's why it's spoken of so much in the Word of God, and that's why it needs to be taught on and must be made very clear to people. If you want to have results in your life, you need to have faith. In your Christian life, you need to have faith. Now, we looked briefly the last time when I looked at overcoming obstacles to faith. We looked briefly at four major obstacles. There are others, but I believe those others are connected to these anyway. So the first obstacle we looked at and we'll be looking at in more detail today is not walking in love. And that includes forgiveness. We'll look at that in more detail today. The second obstacle, which we'll continue in this series, is disobeying the truth, which causes condemnation in the heart and, of course, undermines your confidence in the Lord. The third obstacle is not operating in biblical hope. And people need to understand that there is a difference between natural, worldly type of hope and biblical hope, which is based on the Word of God. And the fourth obstacle is unbelief, which is the opposite of faith. So we're going to be looking, journeying through all of these, and so it's important for us to keep this clear in our minds and hearts so that when we're operating in faith, we say, well, is there this obstacle in the way? If there is, we need to deal with it. I can't deal with it for you. What I can do is preach the word, teach the word, and you take that word and you apply it to your life. That's the way it works. You have to personally take responsibility for your own faith walk. Let's look at Galatians 5, verses 5 to 8. And this is our key text that we'll be looking at. Galatians 5, starting from verse 5 and going to verse 8. So verse 5 says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." So who's called us into the Christian walk? Well, it certainly wasn't Satan, was it? And it wasn't the heathen. So it was the Lord himself who's called you into the walk of faith. And he's saying there, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" So the truth must be obeyed. The word of God is the truth. It's the law of God, and it must be obeyed. And he's saying that if you're not running well in the Lord, there must be some sort of hindrance. There must be someone hindering you. And he says, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." Notice the word persuasion. What that means is that something has caused you to go on the wrong way of thinking. See, people don't obey the truth because they have some sort of justification in them why they shouldn't. If you want to go the way of the Lord, you have to say, well, God's word is truth, that settles it in my life, and even if, you know, I come to something that's difficult, then I'll get that right. You know, there's several areas I could point to. You know, there's even some people that have struggles, I don't know why, have struggles with water baptism, for example. Well, Jesus has commanded that people be baptized in water And so a person should, if they want to follow the Lord, say, well, I'm going to obey the truth. I'm going to get water baptized, regardless of, you know, I might not like water or whatever. That's just one example. And so you make that decision to go forward. And it's on every part of your life. And we're going to look in more detail. If you look at verse 6, it says, but faith, the last part of that, but faith which worketh by love. Now, if faith works by love, then love must be a very important ingredient. Love must be something that is absolutely crucial to faith and something that we must really understand, because if we don't, then we can get diverted and our faith is not going to work. Certainly not going to work properly. So we have to have faith in our lives, and we have to make sure that it's operating properly in our lives. We cannot be people of unforgiveness. We cannot have grudges. We cannot be talking hatefully. We cannot be people of hate. But we have to be people of love. And why is that? Well, we've been made new creatures in Christ, the Word of God tells us. And that means we have the nature of God in us. He has changed us. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We've been born of the Spirit, capital S. So we now have the nature of the Spirit inside of us. So that means that when we look at what are we as new creatures, we have to look at who is God. And God is love. God is love. Let's look at some scriptures. 1 John 4, I suggest that you look right through 1 John, because John the Apostle talked extensively about love, and he also talks about love in the Gospel of John. But in 1 John he talks quite a lot about love, and so we're going to be looking at a few scriptures in 1 John. So we'll look first of all at 1 John 4, verses 7 to 12. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 12. Now, the first thing in our love life, to make sure that faith which worketh by love, that love is in operation, is that we must love God. Okay? So keep that in mind as we're reading these scriptures. We must love God above all else and above anyone else and above anything else. Starting from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Okay, love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now that's important, isn't it? If you're born of God, you're going to be a person of love. Because it says love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's why it should concern us if we see Christians acting or speaking in hateful ways. You know, it could be even in critical ways or undermining type ways and so on. We must be people that are walking in the love walk. Verse 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. In other words, everything that God does and says is based on who he is, which is love. He made creation because of love. He made you and me because of love. He's got a special purpose for every one of us. Doesn't matter how old or young you are, he's got a special purpose for every one of you. And he loves you. You've got to get that deep within you. He loves you. He does not want bad for you or the curse for you. He wants blessing for you. If you get that deep within you, then you'll understand the nature of God towards his children is one of great love. Great love. God is love. Okay? Now, you might say, well, why did that happen to such and such a person? You have to keep in your mind and in your heart that God is love. God is love. And certain, you know, bad things might happen to people, But you have to keep in your mind that God is love. Those bad things? Well, we know that we're living on a cursed planet. We know that we're living in an environment full of sin, full of the curse. And we know that there are all types of destroyers and things of the curse around us. That's why we have to walk by faith. Faith is very protective, okay? Because it links you with God. God is love. Faith worketh by love. And faith is very protective, because if you're a faith person, then you'll agree with the word and you'll say, God is my fortress. And what can get through the fortress? You'll say, God is my shield. God is my rock. What can get me off the faith? Okay, can you see? What can hinder me if I say, I'm going to obey God, I'm going to obey the truth? You see what I'm saying? So we have to be people, and I think this is one of the big problems that has happened in amongst the people of God, is that various things, and of course the enemy is very, very adept at this, various things have been shot at Christians, the fiery darts of the enemy, the Bible calls them, shot at Christians to get them off the faith walk, off the love walk. Okay? So let's have a look at verse 8 again. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So we see that the love of God toward us is answered in the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ in history. The only begotten Son, he was born of the Virgin Mary, so he was born of a particular birth which no one else has gone through, and that was the virgin birth. So that's why it says only begotten. Doesn't say his only son, does it? In fact, if you know, we are sons and daughters of God. So, you know, it's talking about his only begotten Son, capital S. So we know that it's talking about God manifest in the flesh, God the Son. So God showed his love toward us. He manifested his love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is important to get hold of. And I can see I'm not going to get through this whole love area just in this sermon, because, and I'll have to roll it over into the next one. What we see here is that God has shown his full love. He's shown his wonderful love. And we know that when we go into, for example, 1 Peter, we see that we call Jesus precious. We call his blood precious. So we have to look at this event in history, the coming of Jesus, in the right way. You know, there are many people that are very flippant about it. They flippantly say, oh yes, yes, Jesus was born and he was a good man and a good teacher and so on. It's much, much more than that. It was God coming sacrificially, giving of himself completely. Was the greatest event that ever happened in the history of mankind, that Jesus was sent, manifested, the love of God manifested, that he died for us and he rose from the dead for us. He paid the full price, not just for one person, but for every person, all of mankind, praise the Lord. And so you can see that this love that God has shown is such a massive thing. And it really requires us to get a revelation in our heart about God's love and about God being love. Because once you get that in your heart, then you'll see that the things of the world, you know, like loving things in the world and so on, become very dim. And the things of God and loving his word and so on become very bright. Okay? Very real to you. Verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation is easy to know. It just means the payment for the wrath of God towards sin. Okay, so it's the payment. So Jesus was sent to be the payment for our sins because God's wrath is poured on sin, okay? And Jesus paid the payment, the full and complete payment. The Bible says he went to hell, he rose from the dead, he suffered for us completely, and the Bible says he became a curse for us. So what a wonderful Saviour we have. A wonderful thing that God has done for us. And it wasn't because we first loved God. We didn't say, oh, we love you, Lord. No, God saw that all were dead. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All were dead in trespasses and sins. That means all were separated from God. And so God had to reach out in his love. Reach out in his love and pay that payment, make that payment for our sins. And now if we believe on him, we are changed on the inside. God, who is love, changes us so that our whole nature is now one of love. Verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And so this is very important. The way we look at one another is not in the world's way of love, okay, but in God's way of love. And God's way of love is a sacrificial type of love. You know, you put what you prefer one before the other and so on. You're giving to each other. You're showing that love without being forced in any way. And you have the best in mind for one another, okay? You have the best in mind for one another. I learned long ago that it's no use concentrating on the negatives in people. You're concentrating on the positives and to get people to grow. You know, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Even some may have done something against you, but if you really love that person, you're not going to take it to heart. And this is important. I know sometimes it may be very difficult to love people, but you've got to see beyond the here and now. You've got to see by faith. And this is why the Bible says we look not at things that are seen, but at things that are unseen. That is, with the eyes of faith, the eyes of your understanding. And we get that through, as I said, revelation in God, going to his word, getting that revelation, like we're going to the word now about love. You should be able to see what we're saying. So look at verse 12. "No man hath seen God at any time." And remember what that word "seen" there is talking about. No man has comprehended or fully understood God at any time. "If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Now that's what we want, isn't it? We want God's love perfected in us because faith worketh by love. You want your faith also to be perfected, because you can see here that if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That's God, who is love. He dwells in us. He's showing us what to do, showing us what to say, showing us how to react. You know, if someone said something to you that was nasty, automatically we often feel, oh, I should be saying something nasty back, you know, or do something nasty, oh, I want to do something back, you know, sort of tit for tat type thing, or I'll get a bit of revenge, and so on. But what we should be doing is saying, Lord, I am led by the Spirit, and seek what does God want us to do. And sometimes it might mean doing the very opposite to what your flesh would be saying. Oh, I should be trying to get back at that person. Well, the very opposite might be give that person a gift, or give that person something which shows that you're not going to let that, what they did or what they said, affect you. And that's a step of faith, by the way. And if you make that step of faith, let me tell you, that the love of God will be perfected in you. You know, there's a lot amongst the Christian churches now where people are not operating properly in the love of God, and it affects their faith. It affects their faith. That's why you see so little results in churches today, because faith is affected by not just this love area, but the other obstacles that I've been pointing to as well. I'm just talking about love today. Let's also go to verses 15 to 19 of that same chapter. Verse 15. It says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." So, of course, that's the first confession you've got to make. Jesus is the Son of God, he is our Lord. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved," the Bible says. Okay, so that's the first confession you should be made, or should have made. So God dwells in you, and he in God. Verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." So we've believed about Jesus being sent as a sacrifice for us, that wonderful love that God has shown towards us. Okay? So, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love. There it is, emphasized again. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Once again, we see here the emphasis, God is love, and we must dwell in love. If you dwell in love, your faith will start to work, you'll get results. God is in you. Verse 17, "Herein is our faith made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." As he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. How would Jesus walk? What would he do? And so on. Now, he always, and he is our supreme example, he always acted in love and showed love, even when others around were not. What did he do on the cross? He prayed for his enemies, didn't he? You see? He didn't. He didn't say, "Oh, strike them, Lord." He prayed for his enemies. You see, he's our supreme example. Verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." So this is talking about the fear of evil. Okay, and fear hath torment. And fear and worry, as you well know, is a great tormenting thing. But if you're resting in God's love, then you know that God cares for you. And you know that the way you're walking is going to be according to what God wants. Praise the Lord. And see, the more you get into bitterness and wanting to strike back and things like that, the less you'll be in God's will. And the harder it will be to walk by faith or to obey the Lord. But the more you make a decision to go the love way, regardless of what others have done, the more you're getting in line with God's will and God's ways. Can you see what I'm saying? Verse 19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." Now that's a wonderful scripture. We love God because he first loved us. Why am I talking about love? Faith worketh by love, the Bible tells us. Faith worketh by love. We love God. So we've been talking about loving God. We've been talking about here in this whole chapter, and I suggest you look at it again. Go and read it in your own private time. Have a look at it. Meditate on what it says and say, "Lord, I'm going to match up with what you're saying in this passage here. And I love you, Lord." You should be able to say that every day. "I love you, Lord. I love you with all my heart. all my soul, all my strength, all my might. That's the first commandment that Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment, to love God. You see, there's lots of idolatry in today's world. When I say idolatry, I'm not just talking about statues, you know, although there are statues as well. The Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. Idolatry is what gets in the way of your love for God. Now, you can put all types of things in the way of your love for God, and let me tell you, it will affect your faith. So what we should do is make sure that there is nothing in the way of our love for God. Nothing. So let's have a look also at chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Now remember I talked last week, or last time we looked at this, that you've been made overcomers. You've been made overcomers. And you'll see here that being an overcomer is linked to being a person walking in love. And of course, if you're walking in love, your faith will start to work. Verse 1 says in 1 John 5, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." There's a connection there, isn't it? If you love God, you're also going to love the children of God. Okay? And you're also going to keep his commandments. In fact, Jesus said in the book of John, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So you can see that in the New Testament there are commandments. Well, we've already read that Paul was asking the Galatians, "Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth?" So obedience is so very, very important. The truth of God must be high on our priorities to do things. So verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." You love God, then you'll keep his commandments. Okay, if he says to forgive, you'll forgive. If he says to walk in love, you'll walk in love. This is keeping his commandments. If he says to love thy neighbour as thyself, then you'll do it. And your neighbour is not just your next door neighbour. And praise the Lord, we've got a couple of nice next door neighbours. That's great. But it's not just your next door neighbour. If you look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, clearly the word neighbour is talking about who you meet up with in life. Okay? So you might not meet anyone in Africa, because you might not go to Africa. But you might meet up with people in life that might not be very lovely, but you'll meet up with them nevertheless. And we have to walk in love. And the commandment of God is that we walk in love. So, verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." You see, God gives us strength, doesn't he? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." You might be thinking, "Oh, I don't know how I could ever love that person." But what you say is, "By faith I choose love. By faith I choose that. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, in Jesus' name." This is the way we walk. We don't meditate on "that person did all those type of things against me." We meditate on what God has said. Verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So can you see, we've already read that if you're born of God, then you've got to be a person of love. And here it's saying, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Well, if you're an overcomer of the world throws all types of things at us. All types of things at us. You know, the world is run by the devil and his minions. So we can see that he's throwing all types of wrong thinking, all types of bad thoughts, all types of people might come to your way. You've got to choose love. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But you know, your faith will not work unless you have love in your life. Very, very important. If you want results, if you want overcoming results, because you're an overcomer by nature, you're also a person of love by nature. If you want an overcoming victory in your life, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, you have to link this all together. I have to be, as you say to yourself, I have to be a person of love, and I choose to be a person of love, I choose to be a person of faith. I am an overcomer, praise the Lord. I'm an overcomer. Glory to God. So let's have a look. We'll go back to Galatians 5. Now, we've always seen that we should love God. We've also seen we should love the brethren, brothers and sisters. Now, to me, loving the brethren is not hard. Okay? It's actually quite easy to love the brethren, because I know that even the rough gems, they have some sort of heart towards God. And to me, it's been easy to love the brethren. And I pray that it's also the same type of thing for yourself. The difficult part comes in loving those who aren't the brethren. We'll talk a bit about that in a minute. Those who are sometimes extremely unlovely. And that's where you really have to have the walk of faith in place in your life. You really have to look at things in the right way. You know, the Lord, when he looked at the planet Earth just before he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, he would have seen all types of sin. Nevertheless, it wasn't because mankind was trying to extend love towards God. It was because God loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So look at Galatians 5, verses 13 to 16. We're talking a bit more about loving the brethren. Galatians 5, 13 to 16. For brethren, so that's brothers and sisters in the Lord, you're part of the family of God, you've been born again. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Okay, that does, see, the liberty you have in Christ doesn't mean you go out and do all the wrong things. Oh, I'm free to go and do that wrong thing. That's not what it's talking about. You are free to serve God because you were bound under the shackles of sin. You were a servant of sin. You were a server, a serving sin. But now you're a servant of God. You've been freed to do that. Free to use the word of God. Free to believe. That's the type of freedom. And so, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Talking to the brethren, isn't he? By love, serve one another. And that requires us not to be people that are selfish, but to be people that look to each other's good. Okay, and I believe that this church has been developing in that area, and I praise the Lord for that. And there'll be a greater development as we go on. There's no doubt about that. And it's wonderful to see the brethren coming together and to, you know, greeting each other, being good to each other in many different ways. And that should increase, praise the Lord. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Why would you love yourself? Okay, it's not talking about selfishness here. Because you've been born again, you're a new creature in Christ. You love what God has made you now. Okay? You're a person that Jesus bought with a price. So it's no use having self-hate. Okay? Going home and flagellating yourself, whipping yourself, and saying, oh, you you're bad and you're not doing the... No. You say, by faith, I'm everything God wants me to be. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you hate yourself, not only will you go in towards into depression and all the wrong type of things, but you'll also not be able to show love towards your neighbour. No, you must love your neighbour as yourself. And that's not talking about selfishness, which is, I'm not going to have it. It's all me, and I'm not going to give anything to anyone else sort of thing. No, it's talking about God has made me, and I am special in the eyes of God because of the blood of Christ, which has washed me clean. I'm a new creature in Christ, praise the Lord. And I want to show the love of God to other people. That's the right way of thinking about it. That's the way we should be. Praise God. So verse 15 says, and this is something to keep in mind, because as we grow in numbers, you're going to find people coming in that may not be of the right spirit or may need to have rough edges smoothed out. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. So we're walking in the Spirit. Now, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to be led of the Spirit. And the Spirit will not lead you into a tit-for-tat or I'll have grudges or unforgiveness against other people. The Spirit will lead you into love and showing love, because God is love. Because the Spirit of God wants you to walk by faith. The Spirit of God wants you to grow in faith. He wants you to operate in faith constantly. I'm going to finish on this next part, which is love others, including your enemies. And then when we come back together on this topic, we're going to talk more about this obstacle and then go into the other obstacle, because I've got more to say about this whole area of love. But I pray that today you're getting an understanding about the very, very important area of faith working by love, and just what that means. So let's have a look at Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48. And when we talk about loving your enemies, we're not talking about your enemies riding roughshod over you. You know, sometimes it's love to rebuke someone. Do you realise that? Sometimes it's love to... You remember that when Paul rebuked people in the book of Acts, he was trying to get them, and Elymas the sorcerer comes to mind, he's trying to get them to get onto the right track. You know, stop your witchcraft, get onto here. That's the type of thing. Now, having said that, doesn't mean that you're always rebuking your enemies, okay? You've got to be led by the Spirit of God about this whole area. Let's have a look at Matthew 5. Verses 43 to 48. Starting with verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, it's easy to love those that love you. Okay, it's easy to show love towards them. And the heathen also show love. You often see, like parents showing love to their children and so on. You even see that in the media. So, and there's a love type relationship there. However, when you come to people such as your enemies, and that is those that, let's have a look in verse 44. Jesus is saying, love your enemies, bless them that, what are they doing? Curse you. Okay? So someone might curse you. They might even say some nasty things about you, criticise you. You see, you pray for them, you bless them. You're not blessing their action. You see, when you're blessing them, you're getting them, you're saying, Lord, I want them to come into your love, your ways, your fullness. And that is the best thing for them, ever. And sometimes blessing them might be to speak a word of God's love to them. Do good to them that hate you. That might mean giving them a gift. It might mean doing something nice for them. But whatever the case is, if they hate you, don't show hatred towards them. Okay, you might say, well, what about those enemies that come and try and invade and do harm to my family? Well, you know, the best love you can show for those people is to stop them. All right? To stop them and make sure that they're held to account. But you can still pray for them. You can still bless them. And by the way, if your family is in danger, you would be negligent not to defend them. Okay? So we must make sure that we're looking at things in the right way. So love your enemies is all part of the love walk. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I remember years ago I was working in a particular place down in Melbourne, and there was a man that was doing various wrong things against me. I don't want to go into detail, but I talked to one of the other ladies who was in the workplace at the time, and she says, you know why he's doing this, don't you? I said, oh, tell me why he's doing it. She said, because you're a Christian. And I found out later that that man who was doing these things against me was doing it because his sister was a born-again Pentecostal Christian. And later on, I had an opportunity to witness to that man as well. So, and I didn't retaliate at the time, but I did pray for him. So the Lord will open up. And I don't know where he is now, but, you know, with the witness of his sister, and with some sort of witness that I planted there, who knows, he may well be in the kingdom of God today. So people can do things against you, can despitefully use you, but God is the one we must follow. He's the God who is love. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you that even though we were dead in trespasses and sins, you sent the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for that. I believe the Lord wants us to just bow our heads now and search our hearts. Just take a minute or two to search your heart and say, Lord, is there anything that I need to address because I want my faith to work? Is there anything in the love area that needs to be fixed up? And if there is, I want you to say to the Lord, Lord, I repent of that. I repent of that. In Jesus' name, wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. I want to live the love life. I know it's pleasing to you. Help me, Lord, with the strength that you have given. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's quieten our hearts as the Spirit of God would have His way. Sinkeli handi kurmashkliest vindo mandle kestiast kumarakoli stendo mandie. The people of God, a people that have had the love of God shown to them. People of God, a people who God loves. The people of God are part of the family of God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the love that you've shown toward us. And we commit ourselves to show love to each other, not to forget that, but to go forth from here and to show love to others and to walk that walk that is so very important. We ask for your revelation, your deep revelation in our hearts concerning this area. And if we have been deficient, Lord, we ask that you show us. And show us also how to walk as overcomers, that we be not people that are behind in any area, but that we be people that are forward and go forth in your love and faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, the Lord is having his way in our midst. Glory to God. That is wonderful. We'll ask Katrina to give us a finishing chorus. Thanks, Katrina.